At Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary, we believe theological education should be confessional. Because of our desire to identify with what Christ has done in His church throughout the centuries, we fully adhere to the 1689 Baptist Confession of Faith. This standard keeps us accountable and preserves us from novelty. For more information on how you can receive informed scholarship with Pastoral Heart, check out our website, cbtseminary.org.
You are listening to the Weekly Discourse on the Man of God Network, featuring a weekly lecture from the classroom of Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary.
Hi, we're here with Dr. Tom Askell. We're both together here at the Church and Family Conference, and it's a delight to have you with us, Tom, and to be able to talk with you about some matters.
Thank you, Sam.
Just take a second, introduce yourself. I see your wife is with you. Her name is
Donna.
Donna.
Right.
And you have how many children?
We have 6 children. We have 14 grandchildren.
Yeah. I have one more than that.
Is that right?
Yeah, well, that's right.
So. I hope to catch you in passion, so we'll see.
And I think 5 of those 6 children are girls. You have a basketball
team.
That's
right. I do, yeah, and I actually coached them. I coached the basketball team.
That sounds like it was a lot of fun.
It was.
Well, we want to just dive right into this whole issue that you've actually addressed in a class for us of wokeness and social justice and the gospel and all of that stuff. And it seems like a good place to start would be just to ask the general question, what is wokeness?
Well, yeah, and it's variously defined by people, but I have taken my cues from Eric Mason, who wrote the book Woke Church. And Eric defines it out as coming out of the urban black nationalist movement. Mm-hmm. And it's a way of talking about coming to an awareness of systemic racism throughout all of, particularly American culture, but all the West as well. Shelby Steele talks about this consciousness movement that I really think might be the seeds or the roots of modern wokeness, and that goes back to the civil rights movement, the latter parts of that with the Black Panther movement, where they talked about your consciousness needs to be raised to see these things.
And so it involves a claim that there is systemic racism and in Western culture in the United States.
And so. That's right, yeah, and until you see it, you're not woke. And and what's happening now, we've seen it with some evangelical leaders who are wearing it as a badge of honor. You know, now I am woke, even though I have all this white privilege and such. You know, I can see it, so I have been made woke, and they're proud of it.
Yeah. Well, and then the other buzzword that's around, or buzz phrase actually, is critical theory or critical race theory. What exactly is critical theory or critical race theory?
Well, critical theory comes out of the legal world, and it's from the Frankfurt School, a Marxist, neo-Marxist Frankfurt School as well. And it basically divides the world up into power structures. And so that's the most fundamentally important thing about the world, how to understand the world and how to understand people's places in the world. You're either a part of the oppressive class or the oppressed class, and that can manifest itself variously. So there are a number of tenets that grow out of critical theory. They're variously used by different critical theorists or those who are influenced by it. But one of the key ones is intersectionality, which says that the most important thing about you is the number of group identities that you can claim that actually define who you are.
Right.
From this identity politics comes up, and so the way that it's been used in the last 30 years or so is if you are a white, male, heterosexual, cisgendered, able-bodied Christian, you're at the top. You're the most oppressive creature that there is, and the number of those categories which you can claim to be opposite in, then that puts you at the bottom, and that you have more authority, moral authority, because you've been more oppressed, and that those that are above you as oppressed oppressive class need to sit down and be quiet and listen to you because you, from your standpoint, have greater insight into justice and ethics and what ought to be done in the world to make things right.
Yeah. This reminds me of the hermeneutical theories that all language is just a power play.
That's right.
And I'm trying to think of the terminology I want there, but it sounds like you're recognizing what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That rather than interpreting any literature with regard to what the author intends it to mean, all literature is simply a way of controlling others.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, the Derrida school of way of talking of language. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think I know what you're going to say to this, but can critical theory serve as an analytical tool?
Well, I mean, yes, it can, to the destruction of everything that it analyzes.
Right.
So those who would claim as Christians, oh, we can use this to help us see things that we can't see otherwise or see better, I resist that and reject that outright.
Yeah.
There's not one thing that we learn from critical theory or critical race theory that cannot be learned through reading the Bible rightly and letting the Bible interpret us and the world.
So it's really a tool to deconstruct
most
everything that we hold dear, right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. That's what the critical in critical theory means. Now, it's been interesting to hear, just even in the last year, some who are advocating it say that the critical just means analysis. You know, we want to be careful in our thinking, the way that we might do a critique of something. But that is not what this means. The critical social theory, by definition, and Herbert Marcuse was the one who coined the phrase initially, I think in 1930s, 37, something like that. It is distinguished from the traditional social theory. I was trained as a sociologist at Texas A&M. I got my degree in that. And it was right as critical theory was coming in the late 70s, and I didn't get much of that. But traditional sociological theory says you look at things as they are, you try to understand them and describe them. And there can be some value in that. Critical social theory says that's not enough.
Yeah.
You need to understand everything's bad and it needs to be deconstructed in order to make it right or good. And from a materialistic worldview, there's no God. And with this utopian vision, and there's all kind of other things that underlie it, I mean, you got to give them credit. They are trying to make what they see as bad good. But without God, of course, it never will go anything but awry.
That's right. John MacArthur said a year or two ago that the quest for social justice is the most subtle and dangerous threat he has seen. Do you agree with this, and why is that?
Yeah, I do agree with it. In fact, I was in the room with him and I think about 13 other guys in Dallas in June of 2018, and none of us had been in that group together. It's the first time, only time, we've ever been all together. We came from backgrounds that were different in the evangelical world, but we were all concerned about what we were seeing in this movement.
Mm-hmm.
And I had just written a letter probably 3 months before to some of my closest friends and associates saying, this is the most dangerous threat that I have seen to the advance of the gospel in my lifetime.
Mm-hmm.
And John MacArthur, in that little private meeting, he said, this is the most serious threat I've seen to the church in my lifetime. And I thought, praise God, praise God.
Here's somebody else that sees it.
Yeah, so I mean, you know, this is a man that knows what he's talking about. These aren't my words, but I took great comfort in that. So yes, I do agree.
So if you had to really boil it down or bullet point it, what is the difference, in your view, between social justice and biblical justice?
Yeah, well, social justice starts from this critical theory standpoint of power structures, and you have this neo-Marxist idea of the oppressors and the oppressed.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's godless. By that I mean materialistic. There's no place for God.
Mm-hmm.
Justice is then defined in terms of this godless understanding. Whereas in the Bible, we have clear teachings of what constitutes justice. You know, you are to give honor to whom honor is due. And so there's a proportionality to justice. You are to treat all people the same. So you're not to show partiality to the rich or the poor,
mm-hmm.
Deuteronomy 19 says.
Right.
You're to give the right response based upon what God says is just. And here's the starting point that Christians must never forget, and yet we do. We got to keep coming back to it. Justice is defined by God. He's
right.
The righteous one.
Right.
Things are righteous because He says they are.
Mm-hmm.
And so you cannot come up with your own agenda or any agenda that is other than, and especially contrary to, what God says is right and claim that you are pursuing justice. Justice is defined by God.
Right, right. And so you really it's really the difference between a theocentric worldview and, well, what amounts to an atheistic worldview.
Yes, very much so.
Mm. those who push back against critical race theory are often deemed racist. Well, I think you know how you're going to answer this question. Is that true? And how should we react if we are called racist for not surrendering to the CRT agenda?
Yeah, well, some might be racist. I'm sure some are. But again, it's the battle for the dictionary. And what
right.
do you mean by racism? And if we could take what historically up until recent years and what I can defend from the Bible to explain this idea of racism as sinful partiality that James condemns that we're not to engage
right.
in, it's appropriate to be partial in certain relationships. I'm
sure.
partial to my wife, you know,
sure.
though I love all the women in our church, I'm partial to my wife. But sinful partiality is always wrong.
Right.
And it puts us in the place of God in trying to make those judgments, which God does not allow. So
He judges without partiality.
That's right. Exactly. And so when someone says, well, if you deny critical race theory or reject it, then you are a racist. Well, that's a Kafka trap, you know. There's no way out of that. This is exactly what Robin DiAngelo says in her book, White Fragility, that the only proper response to the accusation that you are a racist mm-hmm. is, yes, I am, and let me learn from you. Anything else, to question it, to reject it, to seek to bring other insights into the conversation, that is an expression of your fragility, and it just proves the point, see there, I told you so.
Yeah.
And if you argue strongly against it, they will say, oh, well, your racism is more deeply embedded than we knew. So I just reject it outright. I won't stand on that ground, and whenever somebody tells me, you know, well, you're a racist, I'll say, no, I'm not. Oh, well, I don't care. I don't agree with your definitions, so we can have a conversation, but not on your terms.
So the response is, by definition, everyone who doesn't agree with the CRT agenda is a racist, but that definition has to be challenged.
Exactly.
Right?
What standard are we talking about when we make these judgments?
So what should someone do when they believe their church has been infiltrated by these ideologies? Mm. I'm sure that's a massive question,
It is. I get it all the time.
Right.
I talked to an elder this week who was grieved over what was going on in his church. And there's not a week goes by now that I don't get at least two of these questions. And what we ought to do is you go to your elders. I mean, if you are an elder, then you got to own your responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
In Titus 1, we are told that we are to refute these arguments that are contrary to sound doctrine. And
right.
nobody gets a pass on that if you're in the role of elder.
Right.
Even if you're the only elder that sees it and is willing to stand against it, you must do that. But if you're not an elder, I would say go to your leaders, go to your elders, and try to educate yourself, be humble, be respectful, but give them good resources. And there are tons of resources now available
right.
to help folks kind of navigate what is going on in this social justice movement, and especially in the realm of critical race theory intersectionality.
Yeah, and one of those good resources would be to go to CBTS and audit Tom's course, 1 credit hour, 12 or 13 lectures on this whole matter of social justice and the critical race theory. Thank you, Tom, for being with us
today. Thank you, Sam. Good to be with you.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Discourse. If you've been blessed by this week's discourse, please consider subscribing to the Man of God Network so that you can continue to be blessed with resources like these. If you'd like to learn more about Covenant Baptist Theological Seminary, visit us at cbtseminary.org.